Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's stray pet population continues to be a major concern, and the city's animal care services shelter is struggling to find space and supplies to accommodate an influx of animals due to the cold weather. Dozens of dogs have been euthanized in the past month because of a lack of shelter space. A recent report found that there are approximately 35,000 roaming dogs in San Antonio. Almost all of them, almost 96% of them, have owners. So what are the rules for roaming animals in San Antonio? What are the consequences for owners that let them run free? Should sterilization be mandatory for pet adoptions, for where they are for pet adoptions, but for, you know, having animals in San Antonio? We encourage you to call in as we talk about issues with the animal care services and our population of dogs and cats, strays in the streets. The number is 210-614-8980. You can also email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. We're joined by Lisa Norwood, Public Relations and Outreach Manager for the City of San Antonio's Animal Care Services Department. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Officer Shannon Sims, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Animal Care Services Department. Officer Sims, welcome back.
Thanks so much, David.
So tell me about this. Is it a new policy, Lisa, with if it's cold outside and there's a zero tolerance, and so the animal care services is acquiring these animals somehow? What's going on?
It's actually something that we've built into our ordinance, and it's something that just makes sense for our officers. Of course, Officer Sims leads our group of officers and our field enforcement team. Anytime we get extreme weather in San Antonio, we're necessarily going to see an increase in the number of calls that we have coming in. People are concerned about animals that are being kept primarily outside, that may be being kept in inhumane conditions, and we're going to see a rise in those calls whenever we have temperature decreases or in the summertime temperature increases. So anytime we have those extreme weather conditions, like when we've had recent cold snaps, we're going to start to see more animals coming in, and our officers will be given direction by Officer Sims and his supervisory staff. We are zero tolerance. We will not abide by people allowing their pets to live outside in those inhumane conditions.
Okay, so when do you say it's inhumane? Is there a temperature that you say, okay, it's below freezing, you know, we're going to get
a trigger point?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What is it?
So the trigger point is based on weather. And so that trigger point is when we go below freezing.
And any time, David, that we have situations where we either have heat warnings in effect, cold warnings in effect by the National Weather Service, at that point we are going to become much more stringent, trying to make sure that those animals aren't left in those types of conditions. Obviously, our paramount concern is making sure that if at all possible, we want to make sure that that animal stays with the owner. It's in those situations where either the owner is unavailable or unwilling to make the change to get the animal out of the elements that we have to take further action and actually bring those animals in.
So if it's freezing outside and then, you know, you have indoor-outdoor dog, and if you let the dog outside and it's freezing, am I violating something?
If that animal doesn't have proper shelter, breaks from the wind, breaks from potential rain, things like that.
Even just let it outside just to,
you're letting your dog outside to go and do their business. Yeah, right. That's not the concern. The concern is animals who live outside in that sort of inhumane condition.
And what we find all too frequently is many of the animals that we are having to deal with this, they're animals that are tethered. So they're tethered out. They don't have access to be able to find shelter from the elements. And in those situations, it becomes critical because the animal can't use its common sense to get outside of the elements.
All right. So there's a little bit of weird irony here. So the dogs are being brought to animal care services because you're concerned about their well-being because they're kept outside in the cold. Now there's overpopulation of dogs at your facility, and you're having to euthanize them, right? Is that how that works?
That is the possibility. And I understand where you say that there is a sense of irony there. And it speaks to the very real problem that we have in San Antonio, that if we could embrace responsibility as pet owners, if we could embrace compassion and humane care as pet owners in San Antonio, the issues that the shelter has in terms of bringing in owned animals, you referenced those 35,000 animals that we determined in a survey were overwhelmingly owned roaming animals. If we were able to ensure that those owned roaming animals were actually staying on their property, Officer Sims and his field staff could actually address the real bad guys, the ones who were actually being truly intentionally negligent, and not just good people making bad choices by allowing their dogs to be outside. We wouldn't have these euthanasia decisions, these horrible, terrible decisions that our staff have to make because there's only so many rooms at the inn.
And to put it into perspective, David, you know, we receive about 115 to 118,000 calls for service every year for action, you know, from an enforcement perspective. If citizens in San Antonio, out of that 96% that we've noticed that are, they're free of restraint, but they're definitely owned, if the citizens would just follow one law out of all of the Chapter 5 ordinance, which is to keep your animal properly restrained, that would alleviate about 70% of the enforcement activity or the cleanup activities that my officers are currently doing and make them available to do true cruelty investigations and things of that nature.
Just keep your dogs on your property.
And you got an email from Kimberly. ACS didn't create this problem. Our citizens, friends, and neighbors did. This problem is a result of a culture which deems it acceptable not to spay and neuter or neuter their animals, a culture that believes animals are expendable. Too many people let animals roam the street, repeatedly breed, or allow accidental breeding and fail to vaccinate. Too many people surrender, neglect, abuse, and continually endanger animals. So this goes to the point that you brought up, Lisa Norwood.
Yeah, I mean, Kimberly's got a really good point. And the saddest thing of all is there's so many resources out there and so many underwritten resources for the citizens of San Antonio. Just Animal Care Services alone has five different clinics that we work with that provide free or low-cost spay-neuter services weekly at Animal Care Services, the shelter itself, off of 151. There are at least two low-cost vaccination clinics every single week. There's free microchips available 7 days a week at the shelter. Clinics that are held in the community. And Officer Sims has been actually working on a project to increase that number of resource clinics actually out in the community itself, going into high-risk neighborhoods.
I'm going to get a caller on the line, 210-614-8980, Lee. Lee, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with everything you've said so far, but you know, somebody has two jobs and they're trying to raise a family of humans and they have a dog and then they don't have time to take the dog to a clinic. I think that it would be good if the city spent quite a bit of money or at least rented mobile clinics. There are such things now as mobile clinics, and just, you know, park them in a neighborhood, at an HEB parking lot or a church parking lot, where people, you know, and notify the neighbors that you get free spay-neuter plus the rabies shots or whatever the dog needs, and then you're legal. And also, maybe an animal control officer goes around to neighborhoods to see where they can repair fences, because with dogs, if they're not spayed and neutered and there's a broken fence, they're going to get out.
All right, Lee, thank you so much for that call. Let's get a response from Lisa Norwood. She's the public relations manager for City of San Antonio Animal Care Services Department.
Like I said, this is actually something that, Lee hit the nail on the head. It's something that we have been working on for quite some time, and we have a comprehensive neighborhood sweeps program. It's quite a mouthful, but that community program goes into high-risk neighborhoods. In fact, this particular month, we're in District 4, bringing those resource clinics into neighborhoods where we will do block walking, where we will have a free microchip clinic, where we will have a free resource clinic actually in a neighborhood at a community center. And Officer Sims is finalizing a program that will increase those resource clinics even more.
Yeah, so we're in the final stages of solidifying a relationship with a couple of exactly what Lee was talking about, these mobile clinics, entering into agreements with them where we're providing the capability for them to go directly into those neighborhoods like Lisa had talked about, provide the free rabies, provide the free microchipping so that they're good to go, and also provide other services at low cost if the resident, you know, so desired to go ahead and do those additional things. What we're shooting for right now is, as these Scentsy clinics are rolling out, having three low-cost or free clinics actually in those communities every single month.
But I've seen like some sort of in the parking lot of HEB doing some services. Is that you guys?
It is not. Those are private veterinarians that do those services. There's a number of private veterinarians that provide those services at HEBs, at drugstores, at other different, you know, strip malls, that sort of thing, throughout San Antonio. So it's not just the city that's providing those types of underwritten subsidized services. There's also a number of veterinarians in our vet community that are also stepping up and providing subsidized services as well throughout the community.
And there are volunteers that trap feral cats in neighborhoods?
Absolutely. There's a very, very...
I mean, those people are stellar.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, we work with the San Antonio Feral Cat Coalition. I want to give them a shout out, obviously. They have an amazing community cat program. We have a community cat program at Animal Care Services as well. And they do some amazing work trying to address the community cat issue in our communities.
So they trap feral cats that, you know, people feed cats, and these cats are not spayed or neutered, and so they keep multiplying, and then they realize, why are there so many cats in this stand? You know, no birds in my neighborhood. And then, but there are volunteers that do go ahead and capture them and then get them spayed and neutered, and so they don't keep populating.
Absolutely.
And then
so
release them when they find them.
Feeding them is just half of what you need to do. So feeding them is awesome, but we need to get them sterilized. We need to get them their vaccinations as well. San Antonio Feral Cat community or coalition rather has a program in which
now they get support.
They absolutely do. They get support. They take advantage certainly of the free spay neuter services that the city and members of our vet community offer. They're a wonderful program. We offer, like I said, our community cat program as well that they're also engaged in. We host their training sometimes at Animal Care Services, but places like the San Antonio Feral Cat Coalition always need volunteers, and they always need more people engaged in their programs, because programs like that support Animal Care Services, and they're the ones that, just like Animal Care Services, are working to address issues that some irresponsible members of our community are not.
So if there's someone on my block that is like a cat porch, can I call them and ask them?
A cat porch, yes.
If you know what I mean, you know.
Yes.
And as Lisa talked about earlier, talking about feeding was just kind of half of it. You know, I just want to kind of reiterate that, you know, it boils down to responsible feeding, not irresponsible feeding, not nuisance type feeding that's going to, you know, it's going to attract more cats and more wildlife and things like that. It has to be responsible. It has to be to the size of the colony that you're providing for, and they all need to be spayed and neutered.
All right, we're taking a break. I've got a full board of calls. I got to get them on the air. A lot of people have questions. I've got some emails and voicemails. A lot going on here. We're talking about San Antonio's dog and pet population, Animal Care Services. How can we get to that no-kill shelter goal that we all have? 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's stray animal population. Too many kitties, too many puppies roaming the streets of San Antonio. How can we deal with this? Let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Julie, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for bringing this very important issue into discussion. I am Julie Marchbanks, and I run God's Dogs Rescue with my rescue partner, Debbie Davis. I've been rescuing here for 25 years, literally since I moved here. Lived all over the country and have never seen an overpopulation problem like we have here. Now, we've made huge strides. I mean, we were euthanizing probably 100,000 when I moved here, and we're down to the 3,000s, but we're still way over what we need to be because we have too many animals. And spay and neuter and responsible pet ownership is the only way we're going to stop this.
All right, Julie, thank you for the call. I'm going to go move on to Chris, who's also called in. Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Doing good. Go ahead.
I raise purebred dogs. I raise Tibetan Spaniels. They're a small dog, and they're an indoor dog. And the thought that there may be an ordinance that says all dogs must be spayed or neutered is kind of abhorrent to me. It's just you can't have a purebred show dog and have them be spayed or neutered. And that's the rules for the American Kennel Club. But I will also say that before someone gets one of my puppies, I vet them very carefully and make sure that they are going to be a good home. And I get a contract from them saying that if it comes to a point where they can no longer own their dog, that it comes back to me for rehoming. And that's what a responsible breeder does.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Lisa Norwood, Public Relations Outreach Manager for the City of San Antonio's Animal Care Services Department. And when it comes to people who are actually raising purebred, papered animals, do they have to they have different rules when it comes to mandatory spay and neuter?
Well, let's be very clear. The City of San Antonio Animal Care Services is not against people breeding animals responsibly. What we are against is people breeding animals irresponsibly or wantonly or with a intent to only make money.
Puppy
AKC,
mill.
Yeah, exactly, puppy mills. So it sounds like Chris is truly invested and engaged in breeding his pups. Like, he loves his animals. He is taking every opportunity to be a responsible breeder. I hope that he does have his seller's permit if he is selling in the City of San Antonio, as is the law. Any sort of mandatory spay-neuter law in the City of San Antonio, and I would point out, and I'm sure Officer Sims would as well, there is not a mandatory spay-neuter law in the City of San Antonio. However, if the city did consider one, I'm sure that there would be built-in exemptions for animals such as show animals.
So right now, from the City of San Antonio's perspective, actually, if you look at it in, you know, from the right angle, we do have a mandated spay-neuter law already in place. However, it only impacts those whose animals have been found to be free of restraint by one of my officers. So you can absolutely have your animal unspayed and neutered until such time that it's found roaming free of restraint. At that point, you are mandated to spay and neuter that animal. Talking about the responsible pet breeders, if my officers catch you selling your animals on the side of the road, you will be mandated to spay and neuter those animals. If we're talking about, you know, the way Chris is describing it, responsible pet ownership, responsible breeding, not letting the animals run free of restraint and proper vetting, then absolutely, you know, you can absolutely keep that animal unsterilized.
But the puppy mills, so there are some people who just repeatedly breed dogs like a certain breeds, I guess, are very popular, and then you see them sold on the side of the road, and these are not papered, they're not, you know, documented, and they're being raised in these really horrific type dungeon type conditions, right? Is that, have you seen that, officer?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We in those cases, we actually, when we edited the law a couple of years back, we edited the ordinance so that it now allows us, if we catch you selling on the side of the road, I can confiscate those animals and require you to spay and neuter them if you do decide to reclaim them after paying all the fees and fines and things like that. So roadside selling in any way, shape, or form is absolutely illegal. And again, if my officers see it, we will confiscate the animals.
And if I see someone doing that, I can call?
Call it into 311.
Need 311. Let's go to Vicki on the phones. Vicki, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank Shannon Sims in particular for his attempts to compel citizens to spay and neuter their pets. I think as a rescue person in the city, I know how difficult this is. And I'm also excited that there's a recognition that we have a problem with the lack of spay and neuter and with way too much backyard breeding. And I think we need to bring together stakeholders around this problem to come up with solutions. And one solution that I would like to see is that all dogs that go into ACS do not leave without being altered. And I recognize that people have rights to have animals, and they are their property, but every right demands a responsibility.
All right, Vicki, thank you for that. So, I mean, if I had adopt from you guys or another facility, then they're going to be spayed and neutered, right?
Absolutely.
But if you pick up a dog off the streets that's been roaming, and is that dog mandatory spayed neutered?
So if we pick it up off the streets and you come in to reclaim it, by Texas law, the animal is your private property and we cannot permanently alter that animal. However, we do, as I said, if your animal's found roaming free of restraint, you are then given a notice of violation where that animal has to be sterilized within 30 days. If you do not provide proof of that sterilization within 30 days, you start receiving administrative citations. If you still don't come into compliance, then you start to receive criminal citations. So we can't physically alter the dog, but we do have laws in place to make sure that those animals do get altered and sterilized by the owners.
So it would take a state law. The legislature has to take action. Governor has to sign it.
It's real tough because, you know, Texas being a property rights state, animals are considered private property.
I got an email from Kim. She wants to talk about how fosters play an important role in trying to keep animals from having to meet an untimely end, I guess.
Absolutely.
Talk about fosters. How do you do that?
Fosters are amazing. We couldn't do anything that we do without fosters. And there's so many different ways that people can get engaged in our foster program. So we have a couple of different ways that people can foster. Standard fostering involves folks coming in, they sign up to foster, maybe it be a dog, maybe it be a cat, a puppy, a kitten. Perhaps that animal just needs a little bit more time. They're young and they need a little bit more time, a little bit more weight before they can be adoptable. Maybe that animal has a medical problem. Those are both some different kind of scenarios. Of course, with any of our foster programs, we provide all of the stuff that you need, so you don't have to put out any money. All you have to do is kind of open your heart and your
home. So you're going to give me the dog food?
I'm going to give you everything. We're actually signing you up after the show. So we're going to take care of everything for you. But we also came up with a new program. We call it Shelter Paws. And basically, Shelter Paws is foster for a day. You come in, we have some dogs that have been there maybe for a little while, maybe they've been overlooked for whatever reason, and we just give these dogs an opportunity to get out of the shelter for a little bit. You can take these dogs out for essentially a day trip. We give you a backpack with a leash, some treats, some toys, and a list of some dog-friendly places that you can go. Maybe you just take them on a stroll through one of the local hardware stores. It's just a matter of getting the dog out of the shelter so they can chill out and relax for a little bit.
And so this is for someone who doesn't
can't really own a dog?
Maybe they can't own a dog. Maybe they just have a few hours of time to volunteer, but it's a good for you, it's a good for the dog, and it also gives people an opportunity to see what the foster program is about. It's kind of, you know, a dip, you dip your toe in the foster pool for a little bit. And like I said, it's really good for the dogs because it gives them an opportunity to not only get out of the shelter for a little bit, but it also gives them some exposure in the world.
The dogs, they know what's going on.
Oh, they totally know what's going on. Absolutely. And they love it when you pull into, you know, through a McDonald's or a Starbucks and you get them a little something before they come back to the shelter. They absolutely love it. Shelter Paws. It's a wonderful program.
And how do you sign up for that?
Just come to the shelter. We'll show you the dogs. It's a quick process. We go through the application with you and show you some of the dogs that are available to go out for Shelter Paws.
So the thing about the animals outside during the freezing temperatures. So if this is for dogs and cats, but I mean, cats are generally outside animals sometimes. I mean, you have to bring them in, or I mean, if I have a cat on my porch and it's freezing, you know, what do you do?
That's a good question. You know, I think when we go and we talk to schools, we talk to the kids about the importance of providing shelter for any pet that lives outside. And our laws here in San Antonio are very clear about what shelter is. It's not about that piece of plywood leaning up against a fence. It's about providing some sort of house, some sort of house or shelter that's going to provide a break from the wind, something place warm where they can go
put down
and
a
get
blanket.
Away from the elements. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Three sides and a floor and a roof.
All right, and plenty of water, food. We're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980. A lot of calls when you get them on the air. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about animal care services, cats and dogs living together at animal care services, being cared for, and sometimes there are too many of them, and they have to be euthanized. And the goal, I had heard, was to be a no-kill shelter here in San Antonio. So Lisa Norwood, what is the situation with that?
Well, you know, No Kill was a movement, still is a movement in our country. It's a pretty particular term, and it's a term that over the years has changed. You know, I think the goalposts have moved over the years, and it's a confusing term. I think it's always been a very confusing term. I think a lot of times people believe that it is a literal term. And it is not, nor has it ever been. And so what Animal Care Services has always strived to do is to not be the best, but to always be better. And so that's kind of where we are. I will tell you that right now we have a 92% placement rate, and that is for all animals, not just the healthy, cute, small, little bitty ones that are adoption ready, but that's for everybody. The good, the bad, the ugly. You know, everybody who comes in, no matter what condition they come in. So 92% of the, what is it, Officer
32,000.
Sims? 33,000 animals that come in, we are able to find placement for.
So a no-kill shelter, it's a term of art. There are always going to have to be some euthanizing going on because, but to get to a point where we would have some, with the qualifiers in place, still be considered, we're not anywhere close to being a no-kill shelter, but that has been a goal for ours.
Well, and again, it depends on what your definition of no-kill is. The standard definition of no-kill was that 100% of the healthy, adoptable animals found placement. You know, again, Animal Care Services wants to be better, always strive to be better as opposed to the best. And we decided that rather than just focus on healthy adoptables, that we needed to focus on all the animals in our care. So we are at 92% of all of the animals in our shelter we find placement for, regardless of whether they're adoptable or not.
And what would it take for us to get to 99.9% or something like
that? Oh, gosh, undoubtedly.
From my perspective, yeah. What it would take is people keeping their animals on their property. Most of the animals that we're bringing in had a home before they came to us. If we can slow the influx of animals that my officers are having to pick up due to irresponsibility, we can provide more time for those difficult-to-place animals to find homes. And it really just boils down to that. You know, there, Lisa made the statement earlier that there's only so many rooms at the inn, and so you know we're not going to have more rooms at the inn. What we need to do is decrease the amount of intake, but we need to do that naturally. We don't want to do that artificially. We still want to provide public safety to the community, and until such time. We're kind of stuck in that crux.
Right. You're under pressure. Let's go to Daniel on the phones. Daniel, thanks for calling into the Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I had just a quick question about response time. If somebody has an issue in our neighborhood, I had a situation about a year ago where I was walking my dog, and in our neighborhood, we get surrounded by three dogs, all different sizes. None of them had a collar. None of them had anything on them, and they started barking. So I had to pick up a rock, throw it at them. They ran off. And about a week later, it happened again, same part of the street. And they ran off in the same direction of the same house. So I made the call, explained my situation, and about 2.5 weeks later, I get a call, and they're saying, hey, we didn't find anything. We don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I don't know what the response time is, something like that. I don't know, you know, I know you guys have to prioritize things, but I'm just curious to know how something like that is handled.
All right. Thank you for that call. Officer Shannon Sims?
Yeah. So Daniel, as you said, we do have priorities. Obviously, the stray running along, not messing with anybody is a low priority. An SAPD officer, a bite, an injured animal, things like that are the highest priorities.
So if I said, here is an animal on my street corner and it looks like it is going to kill somebody.
It would be an aggressive animal and things like that. At that point, that does escalate. Right now, you're talking about a 12-hour turnaround. Now, I know Daniel was talking about a year ago. In the last 6 months, we've redesigned our dispatch and operations processes so that now my officers are actually able to operate in real time. Back then, we were struggling with call volume, and we had to do a redesign and look at the way we were doing business so that we could improve that responsiveness to the community.
All right. Let's go to Erica on the phones. Erica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, first I'd like to commend everybody for working on solutions for this problem. I'm the founder of the Pet Education Project, and we're a new San Antonio nonprofit that teaches kids responsible pet ownership in schools. We go for free. We educate kids on spaying and neutering, responsible pet ownership, every topic that's been covered here today. But we do it in a fun and entertaining way, and our whole mission is to educate the next generation of pet owners so that we can see a big change in the future here at San Antonio.
Right. We got several emails from people who are calling for aggressive pet education, education project, trying to get people more aware. And how are y'all working with these groups, Lisa Norwood?
Well, we actually have an education and outreach team. We're in schools every day here in San Antonio. There's more than a dozen school districts in the city of San Antonio. And you have to be strategic about the schools that you go to in San Antonio. You have to be strategic about how you educate in San Antonio. It makes sense to take a laser approach. And the reason I say that is rather than shotgunning your education, you want to make sure that you're looking at where are your high-risk areas. And just like you would concentrate your enforcement efforts in those high-risk areas, so too should you concentrate your education efforts in those high-risk areas. That's what we're doing with our education programs. We have both school-based curriculums as well as adult-based curriculums that we go and do presentations both with HOAs, like I said, with schools, and do that on a weekly basis.
Now, an email from Julie, does the ACS give students take-home materials when you go into classrooms about spay, neuter, and vaccination opportunities? Vaccinations, we haven't even talked about that.
We have not talked about vaccinations, and that's a really good question that Julie has. We will, actually, when we go into those high-risk areas, I talked about strategy. As an example, we're in District 4 right now for our Comprehensive Neighborhood Sweeps Initiative. When we go into those specific areas, we're doing resource clinics now in District 4. We're going to be doing one, in fact, coming up this next weekend. So we give the materials announcing that we're going to be doing the resource clinics to those schools so that they can pass them out to the children, and they then take them home to their parents. So yes, there is information that's given to them that spells out the resources that we have available for the neighborhoods.
Here's a question from Barbara. Barbara, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air.
Well, am I on?
Yes, Barbara, you're on the air.
Thank you for allowing me to be on. I am one of those people that feed the cats, but I try very hard, and I've probably neutered at least 50 or 60, but I pay at the vet. But it's so hard for me to go to the low-cost places because you have to be there early in the morning. And there's a lot of traffic, and it's hard. But I wish so much, and I pray that they would let us bring them the afternoon before. They could buy a couple of cages. Because right now I've got 4 or 5 male kitties that are unneutered. That would help me if we could just bring them the day before. And also I really wish they need to make change at all, because recently the homeless man that I know, they picked him up, and they took him to jail, and they took his female dog to ACS. And that his brother picked that female dog up. It wasn't recently, it was a couple of years ago, but he went on to breed that dog, and he sold the puppies. I was able to neuter later the mother and one of the female dogs at about $1,000.
Wow.
Why in God's name do they release those animals from there if they're not neutered?
Okay, Barbara, thank you for the call. We heard earlier that there's a state law that limits what the ACS can do in that regard. But to Barbara's first point about sometimes it's very difficult to navigate access to services because of the limitations that you have. And so, Lisa Norwood, I was wondering if you could respond to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Barbara, I would tell you to please look into our community cat program. It sounds like you're in need of getting some more kennels, some more cages to trap those toms that you have. We absolutely will give you kennels so that you can get those guys trapped. And in addition, we can get you vouchers for surgery at Animal Care Services. Can't do anything about the time. Still got to get you up there to drop off the animals. But we do have a little bit more reasonable time because the drop-off time does go until 9 o'clock, and we have several different days that you can do the surgery time, including a time on the weekend. So please look into our community cat program. You can actually send us an email or give us a call at 207-6696. That's 207-6696. Or just look us up on the internet at saacs.net. And we can give you information on our community cat program.
All right. And so, Lisa Norwood, in about 20 seconds, is this like a busy year time of the year for you guys going into holidays? Do people make mistakes giving animals as gifts? You know, is that a problem? Do you have some words in that area?
Really quickly, I will tell you, we're an animal shelter. We are in the business of placing pets. We want people to bring pets into their homes. But we want people to make an informed decision. So if you are going to bring a pet into your home this holiday, please do your homework.
Right. If you're thinking about giving someone a dog or cat for a Christmas present, why don't you come by the Animal Care Services and pick one out right there. You'll be making an animal and a human happy at the same time. I want to thank Lisa Norwood, Officer Shannon Sims. You had a tongue twister there. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.